and decide you're just a big kid. What do you do to get to the top? I think a lot of times a Christian asks themselves, Lord, what more can I do for you? Lord, how do I get from this place of being here to a better, awesomer, more relationship with you? So, Lord, what do I do to get to the top? How do I get up there? The teaching this morning of their sermon this morning aims at kids. It involves kids. So that, guys, that's why I had you raise your hand, because you're just big kids. But almost everybody here today was a kid at one time. Wasn't it fun to be a kid? You see, when we were kids, there were lots of things that were taking place. We had no idea that this was happening. And in the family setting, lots of times the kids are the ones who really don't know everything that's taking place, or that the bills are late, or that there's a certain conflict in the family, or there's these issues we're dealing with. Kids don't have that. It's good to be a kid. It's good to realize that, man, I got somebody that's going to protect me. I got somebody that's going to provide for me. I got a pilot. They get me everywhere I want to go. And I think as adults, we have to take on some adult things, but we have lost sight of what it means to have somebody take care of us, somebody who is protecting us and providing for us and gets us where we need to be. There's a little song that we all know. And as I was writing this down, everybody's got it memorized, by the way. I was thinking, boy, this song is not politically correct anymore. But when I was growing up, we sang Our Lungs Out. And you all know the song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight, all of them, because Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves kids. And I think it was awesome that they had the ability to stand up in church and yell. Because I think lots of times, maybe even to our detriment, we try to make them adults and try to make them behave so much that even we're missing part of worshiping God. I have a hard time looking back on the Old Testament prophets going, I'll bet they were quiet. I'll bet when they were preaching, you were going to hear them whether you wanted to or not. Little kids. Praise God for little kids. And actually, adults, we could take and learn some lessons from them. Don't they grow up real fast? It's real fast. It's like they're in kindergarten, and then the next time you deal with them, they're graduating high school. It's like, poof, that's gone. That time's gone. Grows very fast. Our kids grew up as fast as yours are growing or have grown up. And I think lots of times we adults want them to grow up and be adults so quick, we may be losing out, because that's an opportunity for us to be a kid again. And honestly, I think some of us are pretty grouchy. And some of us are getting pretty cantankerous. And really, it's fun to be a kid. Wives, tell me you've never thought this. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with my kids. Good. Lord, I really didn't want the extra one. And every wife here knows what I'm talking about. Because when you got married, you got an extra one. And it's your husband. I still get in trouble. I still get reprimanded for acting childish. But guys can't help it. Mark's back there, and he knows, because we're a lot alike, and we both like to get in trouble, and we both don't have any problem finding it. I think every dad in here is the same way. Jesus loves kids from 0 to 100. And what Jesus is teaching us is that it's good to be a kid. And matter of fact, that's what He desires you to be, is a kid. It's like you can have fun again. You know, when it's a kid, kids are taken care of. The mom and dad protect, provide, and they pilot you until you become an adult. And then even as an adult, parents are still protecting, providing, and piloting. Jesus says, unless you become like this little one, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I started to think, so we get to be childish, we get to just play and do nothing? That's not what Jesus is talking about. You see, Jesus is talking about the issue of pride and humility. Because we can see a great example in kids. And then it's like when we start to grow up into adults, then we start putting away the protection, the provision, and the piloting, and we go, God, I got this. And God's saying, wait a minute. Unless you become like a child, I can't let you in. So people, put a smile on your face. You get to be a kid again. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, go to verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's funny. Here these men, these grown men, have been following in the footsteps of the rabbi, and they come up with this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, we know that you got a lot on your mind, and Lord, you got all these teachings that you need to take care of, and you have all these people that need to be healed, and Lord, we know that there's a vision of the cross in front of you, and that's going to be terrible. But Jesus, would you tell us this? Who's the greatest? And Jesus has to go, you got to be kidding me. You're concerned about who's the greatest among you? Look at you. You're as dirty as I am. You've been walking the countryside like I am, and you're concerned about who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Can you imagine what the disciples thought when they are now? You got to get the picture. Jesus is traveling. More than likely, there's no paved roads. There's brick, but not paved. He's on a dirt road. He's leading his disciples. So Jesus would be up front. And now these disciples are in the back having a conversation. You can get a picture of this episode in Matthew 18, also in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke. They all three record this event. There's a little bit different perception of how they see it, but the story is the same and the meaning is the same. Jesus is leading this group in ministry down the road, and he gets this, I think he just knew it in his spirit. Maybe he could hear them, but they are in discussion about, of them, which one is the greatest. And I got a feeling that Peter was probably involved, and probably James was involved. John may have been involved. I don't know how many, doesn't give us, but it does give us this. They were discussing who in the kingdom was the greatest. You see, I think they're on the way to Peter's house, which would be in Capernaum. If you make your way to Mark chapter 9, it gives us the idea that Peter was at home. It's Jesus has now taken an opportunity, and he says, send that kid over here. This little one comes over. Jesus picks this little one up, and Jesus now teaches the disciples like they've never been taught before. Unless you become a kid, unless you become like this little tiny one, none of you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, I got a feeling at this point in time, the disciples grow silent because they realize that Jesus is going to tell them something, teach them something, and they're not getting it. First of all, these are the appointed disciples of Jesus the Christ. Surely, one of us 12 would be the greatest. And Jesus pulls up a random kid And he says, unless you become like this little kid, none of you are going to make it. So people, we need to become like little kids if we plan on coming into the kingdom of God. So put away some of your old ideas, some of your grouchiness, some of your looking down on people. Some of you need to become a little Jesus brat. You need to become a kid. If your plans are to inherit the kingdom of God, you got to become like a kid. Now, Jesus goes on, and there's so much teaching in what he's just given. Unless you become like this child. Now, he's not saying you need to be a little selfish brat. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus pulls up this little kid, and he says, unless you become like him, because you can't be him. You can't be that little kid, but you can become like him. So what does a kid have? What's a kid do that adults do not do? Now think about this. This whole thing started with the disciples. I think Jesus is just a very good teacher. And when he hears these disciples talking about who the greatest is, Jesus is saying, this is a great opportunity to teach you all something. Where he's going with this is Jesus is addressing this question that the disciples had. Who's the greatest? And you see, if you ask me that question, Pastor, who's the greatest at Leesville Faith Community Chapel? First of all, you know my answer. It's Jesus, the Christ. He's the most important one here. You all are important, but Jesus is the greatest. And if you're sitting there going, well, I'm pretty awesome, and you're not going to say that because you're humble. I can remember as a kid, my dad had a way about him, and he would just look at me, and especially, to be quite honest, if I did something that I thought was pretty awesome, he'd just look at me and he'd say, you think you're something, don't you? If I'd have known the Bible better, I would have said, I am. See, Jesus is not addressing the selfish little brat that kids can be. You all were kids. Jesus is addressing something else here. You need to become like a child. And I don't know how big this kid was, but I can tell you he's probably not 16. Jesus pulled him over, set him up on his lap. He's probably 6. Those kids are great because you can really get in trouble with them. But Jesus says, unless you become like this little one, you'll never get into heaven. So what was Jesus really teaching? Well, first of all, if you ask the question, who is the greatest, you have one big issue that you need to deal with. Because in your mind, you've already answered the question. And so did the disciples. For each one who thought about who is the greatest in the kingdom, they all had their answer. And it was them. So if you ask that question, you're going to have to admit, I believe I am. And if you answer that way, you have the same problem the disciples did. And it was called pride. Jesus just has this unique ability to humble people. And he did that with his disciples because unless you become like this little one, you got to do away with pride and become like a little one. Look how cute and innocent they are. And Jesus says that's what you need to become. How do we get to the top? Number one, children need a provider. Children need someone who's going to provide for them. Ever have your kids come up and say, it used to be with me, and probably maybe some of you were even worse. You go up to your parents and say, do you have a dime? Yeah. I can remember, and you may be familiar with it, but in Strasburg was the first Walmart. Did you know that? It was called Garver Brothers Store. But it was a mega store. You could buy anything at Garver Brothers, from onions and green beans to sofas, boots, candy, farm equipment, all in one store. And I can remember we went, us kids were allowed to go once a month. That's when mom got groceries. And they would give us a dime. That dime looked awful, a lot bigger than it is today. And you could actually buy stuff with a dime. But kids need somebody to provide them with things. So parents are charged with providing the basics. Let me say that again. Parents are charged to provide the basics, not necessarily the extravagant. When parents start to go belly up because of buying stuff for the kids, something's out of order. You get the basics. That's what they're charged with, is to take care and provide for the child. Honestly, some adults have trouble providing for themselves. We just don't do it very well. So children need someone to provide for them clothing, food, shelter, the basics. If we're to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as a child. So somebody must need to provide for us. Because if we're going to be like that child, we need a provider. Can you think of anyone who has the ability to provide the basics of what we need to continue here? Provide shelter, food, the basics. His name is God. God is the provider. He's the one that gives us what we have. Matter of fact, everything that's in existence is already His. He owns it all. And He is giving you the privilege of using it free of charge. God is the provider. Children need provided for, and God is willing to do that for us. There's a story in the Old Testament that really fits here. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. But it gives us a picture of what our responsibility as parents are, and the understanding that we too need to be provided for. Genesis chapter 22. Go to verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. By the way, if you're not seeing a picture of Jesus Christ in this story, we got to talk. The Father gave up His Son, His only Son. His name was Jesus for us. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Now that is an interesting story, because Abraham was charged with taking Isaac and sacrificing him to the Lord. Now you have to look at Abraham, because remember, this guy is over 100 years old at this point, and God had promised him his own son, and boy, he's 100 years old, so now this is my kid. And you would have to think Abraham would be gone. You want me to do what? But Abraham was credited with righteousness because of his faith. And he took his son. Notice, a lad. This was not an infant. Abraham would have been over 100. And the idea of catching a lad for Abraham would have to be an issue. So Isaac must have been very willing. And just as the knife went up, Abraham's gone, okay, Lord, now be a good time. And God come through. And he named that place something really odd. The Lord will provide. But that's not how it is in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To become a child, we need to be provided for. and understand who's providing for us. Number two, children need a protector, someone to watch out over them. Times have changed a little bit over the past few years. When most of us were kids, things have changed, but most of us here aren't too far from a Golden Buckeye card, or you already got your AMAC card. Or remember when you were a kid, and I think most all villages had this, was homecoming. Do you remember those? I know Bolivar did. That's where we went. But I'm sure Sharonsville had homecoming, probably Bowerston, but almost all of these little villages had homecoming. And it was a great time because there were lots of rides, lots of eats, and lots of things to do. And your parents would always go. And times have changed. Because when we were a kid, we'd look at mom and dad and they would say, "We're all going to meet back here at 10 o'clock. And you were off. You went your own way, did your own thing. Because you sure didn't want to be seen with your mom and dad. And they said, just go. And then at 10 o'clock, the mom and dad was there and the kids never showed up. 5 minutes later, they showed up and then they got chewed out. But you could do that then. Times are different. Now we really got to be careful. And we really got to keep our eyes on our kids. Because you're a protector. And the idea of grabbing them, holding their hand now, is really awesome because you're letting them know, I got you. Pride goes out the window when someone grabs your hand and says, I got this. I'll take care of you. Because now they're providing for you, protecting you, and they're letting you know, I got you. And at this point in time, pride's gone because you know they're not going to let you get in trouble. They're not going to let harm come to you. I got this. They are your protector. Jesus is saying to grown-ups, let me hold your hand. I got you. I will protect you. No matter what happens, I got you. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, David writes, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love you, your name may exalt in you. You see, to get into the heaven, into the kingdom of God, you gotta be provided for it. You have to be protected just as a little kid does. Number three is, children need a pilot. They need somebody to guide them. How many have ever been on an airplane? Okay, some of you. Not some of you. You make your way on an airplane, and it's been a couple years now, and I'm sure since COVID some things have changed, but you make your way on an airplane, and you have your seat, and flight attendant will, if you can't find it, will get you to your seat. And then you sit down in that seat, buckle up, and you're there for the long term. And you're completely, while you're sitting in that seat, you're putting your entire life in the hands of at least two guys up front. They will get you from where you were to where you want to be. I don't know how you people look at it, but that safety rate is a lot higher on an airplane than it is when you get in your four-wheeled Flintstone mobile out here and make your way home. Those guys are awesome, but you got a pilot. You got somebody who's going to make sure you get from point A to point B. When you sit down in the seat, you now trust those pilots to get you where you want to be in one piece. And quite honestly, there was a couple times I wasn't sure whether they were going to hold up their end of the bargain or not. But so far, so good. You see, a child needs somebody to guide them. Somebody that they can trust will get them from here to here. If you take a taxi, you're trusting the guy to get you from here to there, where you need to go. They're guiding you. They're directing you. They're making sure that this does happen. But when you're sitting in that seat, there's a matter of humility that's in that seat. because you're realizing they can do it and I can't. So there's humility there. You're trusting in them. You're relying on them to get you where you need to be. Isn't it great when you're running into obstacles and there's someone that you can go to that will guide you, give you counsel, give you great advice? That's one great thing about being in a fellowship, is from time to time we all get in a pickle. And it's great to have somebody that you can trust that will get you and guide you through whatever this episode is that you're going through. But when you do that, you take on a role of humility. Is I understand I need help here. I can't do this on my own. It's really awesome when someone comes up and asks you, what do you think about this? But approach it in humility, not pride. Because kids are the greatest in the kingdom. If you take on the role of, I must be pretty awesome because they're asking me this, I think you lost it. But every kid needs a pilot. Somebody they can trust, someone that will counsel and give them good advice. Psalm 32, verse 8, David writes, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You see, we need to let God protect us. We need to understand that God provides for us. We need to understand that in the difficult times which we live, there is someone that I can trust. Someone who will give me good, sound advice. Let me know what I am supposed to be doing. And that's the Father. Now, there's no physical way that you can become younger. But you can become younger spiritually. You see, adults do have pride issues. By the way, I found out that usually pride gets me in trouble. It's never a good thing. It's always I end up pulling my foot out of my mouth. And probably I'm not the only one here that has had pride issues. You see, Jesus is trying to teach us to become like a child, humble, one who needs someone to protect, provide, and guide them. And when that starts to take place, we actually become younger. Because unless you become like this little one, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's act like little kids. No pride, humility, and understanding what a great God we serve.